With Don filling in for Pastor Raymond this morning, he has chosen Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16, as our scripture reading, and it will be the basis for the message that he will share. As I read this familiar passage, I ask each of you to put yourself in the disciples' place and think about how you would respond to Jesus' question. I read Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Having heard the reading of God's inspired word, let us prepare to hear the message. Who is this Jesus?
No, it doesn't feel like autumn outside, but I'm going to use my autumn reference. Like many on an autumn Sunday afternoon, you might find me parked in a recliner, and I might be watching a professional football game. You know, and I'm not one of those that's going to spend 6 to 9 hours every Sunday wrapped up in this outcome or that outcome. And generally speaking, and it's not an afternoon game this week, I'll watch one game, the Vikings, and that's it. And I'm also not the sort that can quote you all kinds of statistics, things like, Cincinnati has 4 wins and 2 losses against Cleveland when it's raining in Denver. I might have a lot of useless knowledge up here, but, and I want you to remember this phrase, to me, a lot of that goes beyond the bounds of idiocy. In fact, a lot of times my wife and I will watch some of these games and we'll watch some of the baseball games. Again, mostly one team. People earn a living keeping track of this stuff. But I want you to remember this phrase, to me, because a lot of that does seem to maybe push the envelope as far as what we need. I'll watch that Viking game and I'll hope they do well, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And when they don't, it's usually because they did not pay attention to the basics of the game. And when that happens, I'm reminded of a football coach named Vince Lombardi, who it's a name a lot of people, even those who know or care little or nothing about football, can at least say they've heard of. You know, he coached a number of championship teams, but in his early years, things didn't always go so well. And one time he was so disgusted with his team's performance that he called them together after the game and announced, "We're going to start with the basics." And he said, "Gentlemen," and he holds up the football, "this is a football. That's starting with the basics." Now, being as we're coming up out here on what we would in the church call the church year, the Advent season, where we celebrate the anticipation of the birth of Jesus, leading up to our Christmas festival in honor of Jesus' birth, I think for us today that we may want to take some time to meditate on what it all means, to pay attention to the basics of our faith, if you would. You know, we've all heard sermons, every year you hear them somewhere, about keeping Christ in Christmas. And we've seen the little signs around. They'll say, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, in fact, there's one of them. It's a little towel that hangs on a little hook in our living room. I see it, I don't know how many times a day as I walk past it. But we'll see that type of stuff. And what I want to leave you with is in no way meant to minimize those sorts of things, because I think it's very important, especially as our culture and society moves head on away from Jesus is the reason for the season. If you take what I say this morning to heart, hopefully those types of statements will maybe actually be elevated. And you'll hear them maybe a little more intentionally, because like a lot of different statements, they can get to be routine where we, you know, just almost just blather them off without even thinking about them. But maybe we'll take them a little more to heart. The questions of the day are, who is this Jesus? What does he mean to me? Now, you'll notice, and I ask you, and I'm going to continually ask you to remember that phrase, to me, because you'll notice that in the question it's attached to, what does he mean to me? And if you go back a number of years, that might not have been something that I would have noticed to intentionally point out, because it's not, who is this Jesus to me? It's, who is this Jesus? What does he mean to me? Because it seems in this age of spirituality that we live in, which, you know, we all maybe have acquaintances where, you know, I'm spiritual but not religious, which just means they're too lazy to get out of bed on Sunday morning to worship the Lord, you know, that, you know, maybe they're using that as a cop-out. But in this age of spirituality that many wish to recreate God in an image that fits with their own little earthly desires, rather than looking at the Father and looking at the Son and looking at the Holy Spirit for what and who they are, and using that as their starting point from which we maybe center and live, not just our faith, but our entire lives that are based in our faith. You know, it was a few years ago, I sat in on a video series. It was put together by an evangelist that some of you may have heard of him, and maybe most of you have, evangelist Ray Comfort. And he had a team put together to do, you know, I mean, it's a video series, so, you know, you have cameras, right? I mean, they would go out and do the man in the street type interviews, and people of various ages from, you know, the college age student on up. And it surprised me a little about how those interviews, most of them, went. And really, you know, is part of the basis why I put the emphasis on that phrase, to me, because there was a lot of, the question would be, who is Jesus? Or the question would be, tell me about God. Now you're talking about an evangelist talking to somebody on the street, and what are the odds that they're going to find Bob Mason out on the street when they ask this question? You know, somebody, you know, or some of, you know, perhaps maybe Gary or Roger or any of us here when they ask that question. Because they'll ask that question and they'll say, tell me about God. And most of the answers were, to me, God is, or to me, Jesus is, or to me, well, they didn't actually ask about the Holy Spirit, because you can imagine what kind of looks that would have gotten. But it gave me something to think about. Hearing those statements makes me think, do I ever think like this? The importance of this type of thought was pointed out by Ray Comfort. Well, that's kind of the idea of doing this little video thing that he did, because he shared an insight I have to admit I'd never really thought about. See, in Exodus 32, we can read the account of the Israelites in the wilderness. And what are they doing? They're fashioning a golden calf and building an altar at which they can worship this golden calf. Well, long story short, putting together a god that fit an image that they wanted rather than worshiping God as he actually is. They had created a graven image. And the point of these interviews was that when we try to fit an image of God with our worldly desires and our views, when we're trying to remake God to fit with our worldly views and our personal desires, we're building the golden calf. We're doing the same thing. So I've been pretty careful since in how I word that statement. Who is this Jesus? What does he mean to me? Rather than who is this Jesus to me? What does he mean? So who is this Jesus? You know, this man who should be, if he isn't, the starting point and the focal point of this Christian faith that we claim to profess, well, every so often it's good for us to touch on the basics. And I'm going to read again what Gary read. I'm going to read from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I'm going to read part of the verse 17. And there's a reason for this, I guess. "And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" See, now this is a statement Peter made here from those who knew him best as they walked together on the earth. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, they preface that statement out there by saying, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and, you know, others say Elijah, and there's these over here, some of them are saying Jeremiah or one of the prophets, you know." And see, people then, they're just like people today. They're looking for a god, or, you know, and this is the Jews, they were looking for a Messiah that fits what they want, rather than just accepting God for who he is and God's ways for what they are. In fact, you know, at this time, you know, where this conversation took place, Jesus, his popularity was waning a little bit. You know, from where we're reading today, because he wasn't fitting this image that a lot of these people wanted. He wasn't there to overthrow Rome. He wasn't there to lead an insurrection against the worldly oppressor, but was there to steer people towards the things of God, to think about the things of God, rather than, what do we think of? The things of man. So even those who knew him best, now they didn't have a real deep understanding of his purpose. You know, later in Matthew 16, Jesus tells his disciples he must die and be raised from the dead. And that would punctuate his earthly ministry. And Peter, the same Peter, who has just boldly proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," pulls him aside and tries to rebuke him. Now this is, hey, 1 minute you're getting it, and 1 minute you're not. Hey, Peter? Well, that's also what we're doing when we try to remake God. Because, you know, Peter was just basically going to, you know, can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Holy smokes, that takes a lot of guts, right? You know, but he's just saying, well, no, Jesus. And, you know, this, you know, that just ain't playing out, man. That's not why me and these other six fishermen or five fishermen or four fishermen, however many there were, that were fishermen. That's not why we gave up our fishing to follow you, so that you could die? You know, come on, you know, but we try to remake God, and we try to remake Jesus. And, you know, if we give it some thought, we might even try to remake the Holy Spirit if we want to bring Holy Spirit into the equation. But we want something that's going to fit with our ways, that works with our desires, that works for me, that floats my boat. You know? So not only now have we erected this graven image over here, we've taken it upon ourselves to rebuke God for chewing us out for erecting that graven image. You know? So, you know, things aren't that different. You know, the old phrase, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Things aren't that different in our culture today from what they were when this conversation took place here between Jesus and his disciples. Because those outside the community of God, just like those outside on the outside at the time of this conversation, and it was recorded, those outside of the community of God are quick to ridicule what they see as the idea of God. They're quick to belittle followers of Christ, while those within the Christian community itself will often struggle with recognizing the Father and the Son and, yes, the Holy Spirit too, for what they actually comprise, you know, our triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The thing to remember is that God is who God is. Jesus is who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit is who the Holy Spirit is. You know, I mean, there's a phrase in here about God not being a respecter of persons. I don't know exactly where it is. It's in there somewhere. I've got it written down somewhere. You know, I mean, that really comes back to, you know, you can think what you want. But, you know, Jesus Christ is who Jesus Christ is. You know, and if I want to say something different, that isn't going to change it. It's kind of an unfortunate thing that's taken place within the walls of the Christian church today, that there are a lot of people who think they can change who Jesus Christ is. I mean, there's even groups that will go through the scriptures, and what they do is they try to pick and choose what they think Jesus may or may not have said, or what he may or may not have done. And I was acquainted with one of these guys once. They'll say things like, "We don't think Jesus said that." and say, okay, well, why don't you think Jesus said that? I just don't think he said it. Well, it appears to me the real reason that they think he didn't say it, it probably has a lot to do with it doesn't fit their picture. It doesn't fit their agenda. It's groups of people who would get together and pat each other on the back over how they could appear to be so scholarly or so much more enlightened than the, you know, it's almost like the common believer out here is part of the great unwashed masses or something like that, you know, that they've got this, you know, and, you know, the, you know, groups through the year, like they've got this special insight that nobody else has. And, you know, and basically it was to downplay, you know, the divinity of Christ is what it was. It was the whole purpose for their studies. So, you know, that's the only thing I can figure out. You know, I hate to assign motivations, but it's like, what else would it be? I mean, is it just that you just want to, you know, appear like you're just that much smarter than everybody else and you're just pulling stuff out of the air? You know, we at least have something recorded here, you know. I do know that the idea of discounting Jesus from, you know, who he is, that from, you know, the physical presence he had as he walked among us, you know, that should be serious business, because if it isn't, now at some point we might talk about what Jesus may mean to different people, but God reaches out to all of us where we are. But for today, I want us to think about whether or not we're accepting Jesus as he is. And when I ask that question, I'm going to go back and say, he is who he is. You know, what you or I might want to make him into, doesn't matter. I guess if you want to, you know, play games with that, that's your business. You know, please don't use it to affect somebody else's faith. That's the only thing I'm going to say. You know, but I want us to think about whether or not we're accepting Jesus as he is, or if we're all trying to fabricate a Jesus that fits the mold that we want him to. You know, it doesn't mean we necessarily have to understand everything about Jesus and his gospel message. Like, you know, I know I don't. You know, and don't get me wrong now, there's a lot of knowledge here in God's word, and I guarantee it won't be shown to those who don't maybe want to spend time in the scriptures or listening to those who teach. I mean if you're not willing to put some effort into the living word of God, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff in there and it's not going to be shown to you. I mean, you're not going to pick it up by osmosis, walking down the street, rolling in the grass, that type of thing. It's not going to happen. But I don't, you know, I know I don't understand everything. And I get a little suspicious sometimes when there are people who think they have all the answers when it comes to spiritual matters. You know? But, you know, if we expected to understand everything about God and his ways, it wouldn't be faith, would it? You know, and I know we've had people join us here, you know, for periods of time that they couldn't or wouldn't come to grips with that faith thing, you know. You know, and, I mean, often there are people, it turns out, who are skeptical about the scriptures, but, you know, I mean, and this always kind of puzzles me too. You know, They'll be skeptical about the scriptures, but they'll accept some professor's book from 50 years ago as their gospel and what they should believe. You know? So, you know, I guess as we approach this time of Advent and Christmas, remembering that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that in spite of what you might hear from some movie or some TV show, or this is kind of why I don't watch television, folks, you know, I mean, you know, maybe you love some of these Christmas movies, but, you know, none of them mention Jesus. None of them, you know. But, you know, in spite of what you hear from that movie, or from what, in spite of what you hear from that TV show, or from some talking head somewhere, that Christmas is about Christ, you know. It's remembering that Jesus asks two questions in our account today, thought to leave you with. And most of us, I think, see the Word of God as the two-edged sword, the living Word of God, the inspired Word of God. But he asked those two questions. Who do people say I am? He asked two questions. I mean, the one we dwelled on, the first one, who do people say I am? And then he says, who do you say I am? Because, you know, the culture of the day is going to babble on answering the first of those with its enlightened garbage answers. Well, I think Jesus was a good teacher, but he wasn't. Well, he said he was the Son of God. Now, would a good teacher be a liar? Others will say, oh, I teach Jesus is a myth. Well, I guess fine. You know, go ahead and take the word of that professor that wrote that book 40 years ago over something here, you know. You know, and the funny thing is so oftentimes the people will say stuff like that, encourage the believer to think for themselves when they're not willing to get into God's word and think for themselves. So the babbling goes on because it's a sad thing that people will listen to the answers of the babblers. Even people within the church will listen to the answers of the babblers. The important thing for you and I is how we answer the second question. Who do you say I am? Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this day when we can gather together to lift our praise and worship to you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the one true God, the triune God, that all things were created by you and all things were made through you. Father, we would ask that you would guide and protect us as we seek to live our faith in ways that will impact this world for you, that would bring your kingdom here, as well as being forever. Father, we lift these praises and we lift our worship to you again, and we pray all of these prayers to you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.